You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Happy New Year! What's going on? This is the ITMD show, and we are still hungover, but it's okay.
And Bob's in the red for the first time of the year at the six-second mark.
I thought you were quieter. What happened?
No, it's 2018. It's time to get things going. We're at episode 228 here in Podcast Detroit. The whole gang's here. Guests tonight include Rob and Tino. They have a startup called It's Lit. It's a kind of a cool technology to multi-stream live videos.
Are we getting, like, we're middle-aged white guys. Are we going to get this?
Yes.
Because
Urban Dictionary, look it up.
People say stuff's lit, and I'm like, but it's what?
I don't know. They'll explain to us.
Lit too, so.
Yes. Keep serving the good beer.
And then we got Jeremiah here, Dr. Hook from Daily Detroit. We're going to do a rundown of the best of 2017, New Year's Eve, downtown Detroit, and what's in store for 2018. Dave, you may fire when ready.
You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information.
Following program is intended for mature audiences.
I'm Wyatt, that's Gary, you're Bob, and you're Dave. This is the IT and the D Show.
This is Max Headroom. And what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now. And remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Hi, this is Christy Swanson, and you're listening to the IT in the D Show. And Bob and Dave touch my hoo-hoos.
What happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone tries. What the hell with this? I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the IT in the D Show.
This is Guilfoyle from Silicon Valley, and the only two guys I hate more than Dinesh are Bob and Dave. Suck it, guys.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zabka. Sweep the leg. Listening to IT and the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the deep off.
Hi, this is Kelly LeBrock from Weird Science. So, Bob and Dave, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
Are we at a break yet?
Hey, this is Zach McGowan from Planet Earth. You're listening to IT and the D Show.
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT and the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds.
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
Hey, Detroit, this is Anthony Michael Hall. You're listening to my buddies Bob and Dave on IT in the D.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D Show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear? I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
Hey, everybody. This is Tony Todd. What's happening? You may know me from Candyman, The Rock, Sushi Girls, Zoom, Night of the Living Dead. A lot of pop culture media madness. Anyway, you're listening to IT in the D Show Business.
I'm totally into Dave, but not right. So much Bob.
This is Robert Hayes, a Ted Stryker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the McGumbo Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D Show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat steak.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT and the D Show. Tough guys! Oh!
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up? Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go! Happy New Year! Welcome to 2018. While we are drinking coffee and chewing on Advil, you are listening to the one and only IT and the D Show. We're broadcasting live here, Studio One, Podcast Detroit, in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with the usual crew. Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG's in the house. Randy, I do the Twitters. Walker is manning the Twitter sphere. Find us online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on all the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Fine podcasts are sold.
Hey, so before we dive in, all right, Bob, so when's the last time you checked your credit score?
Every time I get denied for something I want to buy.
So because your scores may change more often than you think, and you should know what they are now and not from a year ago. Credit Karma is here to help out. The best thing, Credit Karma is always free, and there's no catch, no credit card needed. Go to creditkarma.com or download the Credit Karma app now. I got to tell you, I use it. I like it. I'm checking my credit score about once a week now just to see how things are.
I need it.
Is it? Dude, it's
pretty cool.
It
changes week to week.
It'll tell you if there's updates, and sometimes it happens week to week. It's like things roll off and things roll on, and
so
yeah.
They will proactively send you updates when something changed.
Yeah, it's like a little app notification that says, "Hey, something changed."
I'm like, "Oh crap, I forgot to pay my bill." Oh, your credit score just dropped 100 points.
Wah, wah.
You can't buy a car now.
You're a day late. Right. Enjoy your new house payment.
Right, exactly. Hey, your interest rate just jumped 4 points on your house. So that's I need that. Thank you for the reminder, Credit Karma. It is. I'd like to. Oh, but before we get going, mark your calendars.
Right. So we got a whole bunch. When Bob and I were sitting down laying out our calendar for the year, I'm just going to say it now. Screw all of you. because come about June, I'm going to be dead. That's all there is to it. For example, so we've got – let's see, what do we got coming up? We got Saturday, January 6th. We got free podcast day here at Podcast Detroit. If you ever wanted to try out the studios, got a little form on Podcast Detroit. You fill it out, check it out, come in and hang with our studios, see what the deal is, come play. Then on the 11th, that's next Thursday, over at Selena's, the little sports bar down the street that we spend way too much time at, we're having one of our podcaster meetups. Come on out, hang, chill, have a couple drinks, chat with people to talk about podcasting and properties of podcasting. It's
podcasting accessories, maybe?
It's demented and sad, but social.
What mic are you guys using?
Neumann TLM-103.
Oh, Mr. Big Shot.
I prefer the Heil PR-40s.
And then the following Thursday, the 18th, we'll be over at Falling Down Beer Company for our first IT and the D casual networking socialism.
That I won't be at, of course.
You won't. Yeah, great, Bob. You know, we buy a brewery and then schedule events at the brewery, and then you're not there.
I can't
Everybody,
help it.
Welcome to my life.
Tuesday, I can't help it.
Tuesday the 9th is the first Ann Arbor meetup.
I totally forgot about that.
We'll be at Haymaker Public House right at 4th and Washington.
Cool.
I will try to be there, Randy, since I'm missing ours.
Sweet.
You can have them.
So obviously we're back from break. Most of us are a little bit energized. A lot of us are, like I said, we're drinking coffee and chewing on Advil. One story screamed at me, how scary. So what I did was I watched a lot of movies this break. I did not play video games because I knew the onslaught and slew of humanity that would be brought upon me from the middle schoolers
and
elementary school kids.
Well, yeah. And you can only say, kid, I'm going to buy your house and bang your mom so many times.
It was funny the first 13. No, it was funny the first 1300 times, right. I did it. Now just old. But I never knew what. I know it's come up once or twice before, the term called swatting.
Oh, we've talked about swatting.
Yeah,
it's like a fly on the wall and you have to like kill it.
No, it's when
something dies.
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's a human.
It's when someone owes you $1.50 on Call of Duty and you don't pay up, and then someone fakes a hostage crisis situation at your house on your home address, and the SWAT team show up and kill you.
Jesus.
Yeah. Or at the very least, burst in your doors with guns drawn, and
like Christmas Vacation.
Yeah, in this case, somebody died. In fact, and it wasn't even somebody who was involved in the Call of Duty.
It was
$1.50. Again, $1.50. Someone died over $1.50.
So somebody gave a fake address, basically, right?
So let's say like you and I are whatever. So I decided I'm going to SWAT you. So I'm going to do what I'm going to do is I'm going to use.
Is it because I'm getting handsy? Because
it is. It might happen. So I'm going to use a fake app. I'm going to use a fake number app. I'm going to go ahead and call 911. I'm going to say, I'm going to give them your address and say that I've seen armed gunmen in the house. It's a hostage situation. And SWAT shows up.
Jesus Christ.
And they're probably not – they're going to probably storm the house.
They don't ask questions.
SWAT doesn't F around. No.
So this was a 28-year-old guy, father of two.
Yep. Who, again, not even involved in the $1.50 bet. Just to make that abundantly clear, you jackhole who set this up.
But apparently this is the same individual that called in a fake bomb threat at a Dallas event earlier this year. So, yeah. I mean, earlier in 17. So, yeah.
Go figure.
Someone needs to be put in gulag for a fair light.
He has been arrested, right?
Oh, God, yeah.
Okay, good.
But let me ask you a question. How do you – I mean, Activision obviously can't take the blame for it, but they got to feel somehow responsible. How do they combat that? What – I mean,
you really can't. I mean, you have to be – I mean, that really comes down to, I guess, SWAT process and procedure. I mean, you can't not respond to a call like that. You know,
right.
Do you go in –
Hi, everybody.
You know, flashbangs and guns blazing, maybe not.
There's a 12-year-old sitting there with this controller.
Right, like, yeah, with this Xbox One controller going, what? There's not much, yeah.
Like, that headset has been off of my head for at least, 12 years now?
Dude, since I told you, it's been about that long for me, and it was that stupid Need for Speed, you know, that I hopped online, and I thought I was, it was a half hour. And then I walked upstairs and it had been 6 hours. So apparently it's some time space distortion crack LSD that gets pumped in through the headset. I don't know.
See, that's a good thing with Stormfront 2. You get two games and I'm done. I'm at the point in my life now where I don't need to level up that bad.
No.
Do you ever get laid?
Oh! I really like this guy. No. Yeah.
Oh! I have three kids, not anymore.
You got wedding cake. Okay.
But hey, can we, speaking of moments of silence, can we have a moment of silence for everyone in the great state of Oregon who has to
Is it Oregon or Oregon?
Oregon, whatever.
Oregano.
They not only do they have dysentery.
Oregon.
They have all died of dysentery.
They all died of dysentery because they have to start pumping their own gas.
Dude, again, I don't know if the comments were trolls or honest.
I'm pretty sure these –
But
these,
it was amazing.
It was amazing.
These are pretty good. There was a 62-year-old native Oregonian who says, no thanks, because she doesn't want to smell like gasoline. And then someone who said that there are hazards of not pumping gasoline correctly. So, yes, there are hazards of pumping gasoline incorrectly, but that's when you start
My
going
favorite
like,
are the people who think they have to take all the passengers out of the vehicle before they put gas in it.
My kids are in the car. I got to take them off. No, the best comment of the whole thing was, it's like one of those infomercials late at night for the pasta cooker.
Do you have problems pumping gas?
And it's people people making pasta and this shit just goes everywhere. boiling water in their hands. It's
Can you not flip
I feel
pancake?
Like this explains the entire city of Portland.
It kind of does.
This could be an episode of Portlandia.
Exactly.
My favorite comment was, I've decided to move to Oregon to open up a school to teach people how to pump their own gas. And I will also branch out and offer classes such as tying your own suits, dressing yourself, operating a self-checkout machine, dialing your own phone, mowing your lawn, wiping your butt.
And hey, that business model is scalable because New Jersey also can't pump their own gas.
And I lived in New York City, and that was one of the biggest things for me to get used to was pulling into New Jersey and having some guy hey, how much gas you want and what
kind? Yeah, they're all full serve, yeah.
Wow, so there will be a job for Chris Christie.
Oh, shit.
Yes.
All
right.
We just canceled segment 3 today.
Well, and let's be honest. So the relative to the Oregon people are the people who were just appalled that WhatsApp went down on New Year's Eve and they had to resort to texting and calling their friends.
The humanity.
What's funny, it went down just about perfectly New Year's Eve India time. And India is the largest consumer of WhatsApp in the world. All my friends in India, all the people who work for my company in India, all of them use WhatsApp. I'm guaranteeing they're shipping pictures back and forth and text, and it was almost exactly
New Year's Eve. Hopefully that's not the only thing that went
down. Oh!
Well, for New Year's Eve, that was about it for me at least.
Right.
How many bells do we already have in 2018?
How tied to that?
Is that broke?
How tied do you have to be to an app, though, where you lose your mind when you lose it?
Dude, Twitter goes down, people lose their minds.
They do. Facebook goes down. Facebook slows down, and people act the traffic, going home is Snowmageddon.
It's people.
It is people.
Oh, yeah, we did have some snow here.
Just a little.
We should mention that. And morons, again, people in Michigan, I want you to listen to me for 2 seconds. If you're out of the state, whatever. But people in Michigan, it snows every effing year. This is not new. You are not new. People are not flocking to the state like they do to California. So you've been through this once before. You know how to effing drive in snow. You do. I know you do. You know you do. Stop being jackasses.
Hey, Dave, can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Are you proud of me? You've seen me pretty much every day for the past 10 days. What do I own?
You have not had snow on the top of your car.
Not
Holy
bad.
Shit.
No, no. Not just that. What else do I own? I own two things out of the drop that...
Gloves.
So you don't know boots.
You got gloves?
No, I don't have gloves.
And no hat.
No hat.
gloves, scraper.
Yeah, you saw me scrape.
That's right. You scraper. I thought I had developed Parkinson's riding in Bob's car. he's got those low profile tires and ice gets in them. And dude, the back end shook worse than like, I don't know.
We were singing
night.
Wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble baby, wobble. But I own a scarf too.
And a scarf. Oh yeah, I've seen you in a scarf.
Is it a festive Christmas scarf?
It's a Stroh's beer scarf.
You know, cleaning off your car is going to be a lot nicer when you have gloves.
No,
with the scraper.
No, because that was he made fun of me for years. He's like, so you have no boot, you have no gloves. Like that was like a drop for years.
We have it still. Yeah,
right. I'm like, no. I don't scrape.
How long have you lived in Michigan? All my life.
Yeah. You, sir, a jackass. I'm usually the guy that scrapes the 6-inch by 6-inch hole into the front of the windshield, and just drives and hopes snow blows off, so then I can turn on the wipers, and then the water will come out, hopefully, and it's not frozen, too.
Use your credit card as a scraper?
Totally. No, I've never done that. Never done that. But also, Dave, in our trolleys and fun this week, we went to your new favorite arena.
The Dojo.
The Pizza
Screw
Arena.
Screw the Dojo.
The Illich Village.
Illich Village?
Yeah.
Little Caesars Village. Arena? The village. The village people. Apparently, that's what happens when you move next to the arena. You are now a village person.
Apparently, on the fourth deck, whatever the mezzanine or whatever they call it, like if you're 5'8 and 160 pounds, you can't fit in those seats.
Hmm.
And no one, and not only can you not fit, but no one can walk in front of you.
Like Spirit Airlines.
It's worse.
Basically, yeah.
It's like a Greyhound bus. For some reason, they chose to make the lower level bowls. The only time I've been there is on the main floor for wrestling and then at the suite. So I don't know what it's like.
Mr. Sweet Person.
Ah, Comcast, you're, you know.
Thanks, Michelle.
Yeah, exactly.
Love you. Thanks, Michelle.
But like, I could. There's no way I'm sitting up in the fourth deck. I'd rather not even go.
Well, no, not only that, but like, I don't know who the hell designed this place. But so to get to the suites on the second level, there's no escalators.
There are elevators.
But they're hard to find.
They are.
You got to know where the hell they are.
They're very difficult to find.
And there are only like 3 staircases around the entire ring. So if you're somewhere between, like if you're like dead smack in the middle between those staircases and you're walking around with Gowdy McLimps-a-Lot, it's not a great time. It's not fun at all.
I can't imagine I couldn't bring my dad there.
Nope.
There's no way.
No.
Well, I can bring him to Copa, Comerica all day. There's no way I'm taking my dad to a hockey game, which is something I wanted to do because he loves the Wings, you know. But
and then you get your voice out for that one. Gravelly voice.
No. He's in a dying population,
literally.
Yeah,
but no, but dude, last time I checked, smoking was still legal. You literally can't, you can't smoke in the arena, and I'm fine with that.
And nowhere on the grounds, either, right?
Like you can't walk out, a smoke, and come back in. Kiss my ass.
I tried to pull the suite card, too. I'm like, hey, guys, I'm in a suite. Can I go outside and smoke? And they're like, no.
How did they survive?
Gruff. They were super gruff.
How did they survive 8 Kid Rock concerts?
Apparently, everybody just smoked.
And the Grateful Dead.
Apparently, everybody just smoked.
Well, that's what I told
which
you.
Which I should have just done.
I told you, just go in the shitter and smoke. Being. What are they going to do?
Dude, I can make it 4 hours cannon. Without smoking. I
was need fine. Your fix. Like a troll.
For me, the interior had its issues, but I just didn't find any of that ring any fun. I felt like I was going into the lobby of like a Fortune 500 company or a mall. It was like Great
totally
Lakes
felt like
Crossing
totally felt like
with
great.
Hockey in the middle. It was not fun. And everywhere I go through, it's like got that carpet and that beige everything. I didn't feel like I was in a sports arena.
Nope.
I felt like I was going to work. And if I wanted to do that, I wouldn't have paid for the privilege.
Well, and just for a stupid ass, specifically the event we were at was WWE. And so we're up in a suite. On the second level, on the second floor, the event is happening way down in the ring.
I can't even. Wow.
We are looking directly at the Jumbotron.
Which is a pretty freaking awesome screen, right?
Yeah. But they're not using. I think that's
it would be if they had the matches up on the
Wait,
Jumbotron.
Wait, they didn't put them up on the Jumbo? What?
They showed the WWE logo, which was – and here's how stupid that is. They showed the entries. They showed the entrances as they were coming in to the ring and then put the WWE logo up for the –
Not
entire
even like a
match.
Follow cam? Nothing?
Nope.
Oh, my God.
So you had a better seat watching it from home on TV.
Totally.
Oh, except geez. it wasn't on TV.
Oh.
Just one of those shows.
Did they show it on the TVs in the suite or no?
No. TVs are all off.
Pass vision is turned off during all events.
So, at the Palace, I remember, if you take clients to the Pistons game and you wanted to sit in the leather chairs and have a beer and talk shop, You can still watch the game in the background.
Yeah, totally.
Or have it on.
Right.
They mandatory shut off on all televisions in the suite.
Jesus.
Well, and like every gate there in that concourse, they all had brands on them. So it was like, it looked like you were walking into a Meijer, but it was just what they named the gate. It was like the Meijer gate. And then this, it's like everything was an ad. And I get it. Sports are supposed to be commercial. It's a thing nowadays, whatever. But everywhere, it was one thing after another after another. And like, it didn't feel like a hockey arena. It didn't feel like a Pistons arena or a basketball arena.
It's a great event space if you're not a sports fan.
Right.
I'll throw that out there. If you're a casual sports fan, you will love it. If you're a diehard junkie.
I mean, I love the Joe. I love Tiger Stadium. I actually really like Comerica Park.
The Joe was fun. I didn't love the Joe.
Well, it was fun. You're right. You're right. The seats and things like that. There were a lot of issues with the Joe. But it was there was a magic to it.
How about let's pick this up.
I didn't feel any magic with Little Caesars Arena. It felt like a bunch of IKEA furniture pushed together.
Totally. So I'm going to segue from the Red Wings. The Lions have continued to suck. They are done for the year, which brings me to the next story, which is Vince McMahon has apparently sold off $100 million worth of his WWE stock. Double segue there, like that.
Yeah,
And he's apparently talking about bringing back the XFL.
Sweet.
Can Detroit get a team?
Yes.
Please, for the love of God, can Detroit?
Come to Detroit.
He's going to be the head coach. He hate me.
I was one of the weirdos.
I love the XFL.
Well, they were the ones that pioneered.
I could care less about football. Love the XFL.
They pioneered. The problem with the XFL is the kickoffs were dumb. They did the roll the ball down the middle like a basketball.
Well, they also they did the run to the end zone and back.
Right. But they pioneered Madden Cam, which the NFL totally stole off of them.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you never watched the 30 for 30 for XFL, I mean, it was pretty awesome with the whole Dick Ebersol thing with NBC. I hope it comes back because – well, people are starved for football anyway, and you put out – they don't care who's out there.
Well, apparently everybody's cranky about the NFL these days and because there's politics in the game. And
right.
There's this and there's that and there's blah, 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 blah. Whatever. Vince, you have our blessing.
I'm in.
Bring it back. I know you were waiting to hear from us on this, Vince.
Hold on. No, we will put our bid in to buy the first Detroit team. Hopefully it costs under 10 – or like $3,000. If it's under $3,000, we will buy the first –
So you think maybe since Gilbert couldn't get a soccer team, maybe he can go after an XFL team?
No. No, because we're buying it. As long as it's under $3,000.
For it.
No, but a kind of a cool story came out. You know, my kids have been, and myself as well, since Comcast has been out for like a week, I've been watching a ton of Netflix.
And yet not Black Mirror.
No, I haven't
seen it either.
No, but a cool story came out. With, you know, they talk about all the crappy commercials kids have to watch, like between the ED pills and the stupid Chantix and, you know, may cause diarrhea.
Buy this.
Right. And you need that and you need this. Netflix apparently has been saving kids 230 hours worth of commercials every year in Netflix only houses.
9.6 days of commercials.
Right.
Year. I don't doubt it.
And the thing that scared me in the article was that it says the average kid watches 2.68 hours of television a day. Almost 3 hours of TV.
Sure.
A kid per day.
I buy that.
Yeah.
Oh, that's ridiculous. 980 hours a year.
But if you look at regular television programming, what's a half an hour? 22 minutes 22 of programming?
Minutes.
And then 8 minutes, yeah. 8 to 9 minutes of commercials.
Yeah, your average hour show is only 43 minutes.
Right.
But no, dude, I know that. Like, God, I mean, I hate watching crap that I have my DVR now. I mean, I'm getting that spoiled where I don't even like fast forwarding through commercials anymore.
See, that's where It's Lit comes in because you guys can live stream and everybody can see all the crap you're doing. You know what I mean?
See?
Oh my gosh.
Cheap plug. Segment two's been canceled. We're going to have a short show.
Really? I got another one?
We're going to Salinas. But, and another thing is, I know you see the article, so I'm just going to play along.
Okay.
Play along. How many boxes do you think Amazon, Gerald, I have your answer. How many boxes do you think Amazon Prime shipped in the year 2017?
I'm going to bid a dollar, Bob.
Do a dollar $1.50.
You think he'll go over? Think you go over? You got 3 seconds, Jer. 3, 2.
1.5 billion.
Let's go 5.
Wow.
5 billion. 4 of them came to my house.
alternatively filled with video games and bulk toilet paper.
Right. Totally.
And Funyuns.
And Funyuns.
Pork flavored Funyuns.
And my bottled water that I buy cases at a time. The mail lady hates me because she's got to walk up my stoop with cases of this stuff.
You better have tipped the shit out of her.
I don't know. It's the same one that doesn't come all the time. So I'm not tipping nobody that's different.
So you don't probably shovel your walk and you're
I'm going to live in HOA.
Okay.
Do you dress yourself, tie your own shoes, or operate a self-checkout machine?
My shoes are not tied right now. I'm going to feel like it.
How do you feel about pumping gas?
Hey, I pump my gas. I have to.
Who what wants am I to buy movebobtoportland.org?
I want to movebobtoaranch.org.
Bay the hail, kiss my ass. Ship will do it.
You sit him on the porch.
Blue Apron makes my food. Shipt brings my groceries. Amazon brings my teepee. And everything else known to man.
I'm curious to see how this lawsuit plays out. Spotify late earlier today got hit with a $1.6 billion dollar lawsuit brought by essentially a class action thing brought by the composers that dealt with like Neil Young and a bunch of other people. Here's the part about this that concerns me, because I mean, obviously we do a lot of stuff like, you know, we play music over the streams, that kind of thing. We buy our licenses, you know, through ASCAP and BMI. Life's good. So if Spotify apparently can't even figure out how to get licensing right, are we doing it right? Like, I think we are.
Wait until we get the lawsuit. We're totally doing it right.
Well, like, I think I did it right.
We're not going to be held liable for anything, are we?
Oh, God, no. You're you might get subpoenaed, but no. So, like, everything that I've ever read says this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I do it.
No, but, like, the music group that's suing is, like, Tom Petty and a few other assorted, you know, people that you may or may not know.
Weezer's River Cuomo, but, like, Steely Dan's Don Fagan.
What's the total of, like, the royalties that would have had to get paid to this music group?
So there's actually a quote from the complaint that says, "We estimate that our clients account for somewhere between 1 and 5% of the music these services distribute. They have more than $3 billion with a B annual revenue and pays outrageous annual salaries to its executives. We think this is basically fair by taking a minuscule amount of the revenue they take in with the creators of the product."
Spotify makes $3 billion a year.
Crazy. In revenue, but that's not profit.
No, they have to pay licensing fees, but still it's a lot.
Well, apparently they don't.
Or not enough.
Or don't, yeah.
But I also think that there have been a lot of artists who have been trying to push – because the amount of revenue you get off of a stream is so much less than an album sale.
It's pennies per play,
and so
right?
I think this lawsuit is definitely about trying to make a point.
No, but the math is bad because they say we estimate our stuff is 1% of the playlist, yet they want half the yearly gross revenue for
over
the lawsuit.
How many years, though, right? How many years has Spotify been doing this?
Right.
Two?
No, they've been around for
the premium because it was free in the beginning.
They were founded on April 23rd of 2006.
Right, but they haven't been doing the $15 a month stuff.
Right.
They haven't been doing that maybe a couple years. Maybe I'm wrong.
Yeah, it's possible. I'm curious to see how that plays out just because, I mean, it is. And what they're saying is that the vast majority of this stuff, like the revenues that do get paid out, go to the label and never the artist. Now, and like, I don't know, is that an issue between the artists and the labels then?
Well, the labels going, our contract doesn't say nothing about no internet. That's garbage. Yeah, but
this
happened
to Pandora too, right? Pandora was sued for something similar a couple years ago and the increase of fees that they paid to their...
Oh, because whatever artist bitched that they got like $12 from it. And then yet it was streamed like...
Yeah, wasn't it like Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Something she got like, big. Here's my royalty check. It's $12 and my song got streamed 180 million times or whatever. Something crazy. You know what else is kind of interesting to play out? We're not going to end on this note. We'll try to find something funny. But Uber has been basically designated as a taxi company from the European
in England,
Court of Justice. So that completely...
meanwhile, at the European Court of Justice.
Right?
It's a big kick in the balls for Uber, though, right? Because they basically argue that they're not subject to the same taxi regulations.
I've said it a million times. Their legal argument is the same as a pimp. We just put two consenting adults together, take a little cut off the top. Whatever happens after that is on them. That is Uber's legal defense. That is a pimp's legal defense.
And so we should start a new Uber, call it Iceberg Slim.
Pimper.
Whatever.
P-I-M-P-R.
Right, yeah.
Damn.
Why don't we do that for it? Never mind.
Right. No, so I am. Again, I'm curious to see if they're going to wind up pulling out of England. I mean, it's, you know, if it becomes
the
that
entire
big of
EU, which...
Well, no, they're Brexiting.
Well, right, but this was an EU decision, right? So that's like Spain and Czech Republic and all those places, right?
All the things.
That's crazy.
Meep, meep.
gone.
Yeah. No, seriously, why wouldn't they just shut off the app in England?
Yeah, exactly. Man,
problem
we don't
solved.
Need to be there.
All and right. all the people that were doing it were kind of doing it on the site anyway. That wasn't their livelihood.
Nah.
Right?
You so the newest episode of Shameless where Carl puts the word Uber in his front window and it's like U-U or U-B-B-E-R and Carl is driving Fiona's car around pretending to be an Uber driver.
Nice.
People well, that are so waiting, good. He'll go, I'll do it for half of Uber.
Yeah, he's yeah, like, right. I'll do it for half what you're going to pay.
All cash. Why not, right? And the one that I hate or the one that I don't – ad targeters. Like, you know, we pick a lot of businesses.
This was kind of – we've talked about this all – you know, I don't always search for something on Amazon, but when I do, there's an ad waiting for me on Facebook.
Right. But, man, someone sits in a boardroom and says, you know what? All the password manager companies know where all the people are going because the password manager logs in their password.
Right.
So what if we – could track them on all the sites they go to as they're
Can
going there.
Can we pull data out of there and figure out where they've been?
Right, and then send them push ads
Sons
to them.
Sons of bitches.
So basically what they're doing is your password manager will automatically fill in your credentials if it detects the right elements in the form.
Right.
So they're building secret invisible login forms for pages in the background. So your password manager's like, oh, cool, I can log into USAA or Bank of America or Spotify or New York Times. And it will automatically fill in your credentials. And it's like, okay, well, that means they could scrape the username and the password.
Sure.
Like, oh, no, we're not scraping the password. But there's nothing technically to prevent it, which should scare the shit out of everyone who uses a password manager.
This is
what you should be doing.
Right. It's all about the clickety-clicks.
You can turn this off, though. So if you use – I use LastPass. So if you go into preferences and you can actually – there is a automatically fill login information. You can remove that, check, and click save, and that will reduce your vulnerability to this attack.
Cool.
This way the password manager is still remembering your password. You just have to proactively say, hey, yes, fill out this form for me.
This has been a public service message from IT and the D.
Exactly. So, hey, Apple finally broke down and admitted something they've denied for a long, long time.
Hey, Apple. Hey, Apple. Hey, Apple.
I feel like Randy's got some comments on this one.
Yes.
They are not slowing down phones so that you buy a new phone. They are
or so they purport.
Slowing down phones to preserve your existing device so it lasts longer.
So they claim.
Oh, how nice.
Sounds like
here's some fresh software that's going to destroy your battery. We're the good guys.
No. I didn't cheat on you to cheat on you. I cheated on you to spice things up.
Right.
to keep my reproductive bits warm.
Yeah. Randy, you're not absolving them. Are you really?
So there are two options. Like, I love how, one, first of all, everybody's suddenly a chemical engineer, knows exactly how lithium-ion batteries work now. Like, Facebook is full of...
We all do.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Don't work, they slow down, you throw them away.
We're all Supreme Court justices, and we're all political. We all know the Constitution inside and out.
But yeah, I mean, there are two options when the power draw is too high. Either reduce the power draw or just shut off because you can't deliver enough power.
But like, okay, let's look at this from a personal computer standpoint. If you got a Office or a Windows 98 computer,
your laptop has been doing power management for years.
Right. But what I'm saying is, Windows never forced you until 10, like, to upgrade to the latest OS. And if you do, like, they're basically pushing you to up. So they're basically forcing you to take the latest OS, which is, they know is going to denigrate your system or your phone. Right?
Degrade.
What am I thinking of?
Wow.
You know, guys know I'm on medication and I'm cloudy. Leave me alone.
Were you listening to NXS on the
radio? I don't know.
Denigrate, alleviate, try not to.
Well, this update has been out since February of last year. People have just been noticing it, but, you know, they're doing it to win the phone.
They haven't just been. Dude, this, when like 4 went to 5 and 5 went to 6 and 6 went to 7 and now this has been a thing forever.
But that's not what this is. Like, sure, new versions are going to have new features, things like that, you know, the older phone might not be able to run. But this is actually designed to, you know, keep your phone from crashing in extreme situations.
I think Apple got caught with their hand in the cookie jar.
Yep. Skeptical, Dave is skeptical.
I think that dude's getting a check from Apple.
As in,
for the $60 that they've cut off the price of his battery.
20,000 dongs.
Right.
So iPhone 6, 6 Plus, SE... 6S Plus, 6S, they're introduced power management features. They've rolled it out to the iPhone 7s. But if you have battery problems, you can go to Apple Store and they'll replace it for $29.
Oh, great.
Thanks, Apple. You're the best.
And you can do it whether or not your battery is screwed up. So go do it anyway just to show
just Apple to get a fresh battery.
Who's the man?
So speaking of fresh batteries, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back with the team from It's Lit, Rob and Tino. This is the IT and the D Show.
And we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Reads.
meets. Listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh, yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
Welcome back. Thank you for hanging out with us. This is segment two, episode 228 of the very first episode of 2018 of the IT in the D show.
All right, should we call it season what?
No seasons. I hate that.
Four,
podcast.
Five.
No.
Episode one.
It's 228.
Yeah.
Man. And we keep going. This is Pop the Sales Guy. That's Dave the Geek. Nerdy the FNG's in the house.
That's Randy popping his Diet Coke into the mic.
You can't do that anymore, Randy.
We not talked about that.
Pop unlocking.
Randy, I do the Twitter's
you have
walkers
to
in the house.
Table when you do it. It has to be a beer.
No, beer we're fine with in the mic.
The listeners only know because you told them.
Find us online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on the social. Follow us at our meat tab. That's M-E-E-T. And we have meat now. It's not going to be IT and the D Monday Night
the
Meat
Sticks. The Monday Night Meat Sticks.
Was it from the company I sent you?
It's going to be – no, it's going to be – it's going to
the original?
It's going to go into – yeah, we're going to put it – we're going to bring it into Falling Down. But we will have meat. But check out our meat tab. That's M-E-E-T to subscribe to our calendar and like
all the
us.
Events and all that fun stuff.
And subscribe to us everywhere. Fine. Podcasts are sold.
Do that.
So, hey, we are we've been joined by a couple jokey McJokesters here. We got we got Rob and Tino here. They are with a – I think it's a relative startup. It's a very, very cool technology called It's Lit. Gentlemen, how you doing?
Good.
Been
thanks
in
for having us.
Anytime. But you guys, I mean, in a nutshell, have – so let's say we want to go live here and we got to go Facebook Live with one phone and then YouTube with another phone and Periscope with another phone. You guys kind of figured out a cool way to just to have the easy button and bam, I'm going video live.
Well, yeah, because I mean like we've got cams in all the studios and we've got software that powers them, but you can only go live on one at a time, whether it's Facebook Live,
bathroom,
YouTube
man.
Live, yeah.
Seeing the camera in the bathroom too, so I covered that up.
Bob, what'd you do?
Is there a camera in the lady toilet?
Yeah, so that's it. Found a need for the user and obviously business as well. Streaming live simultaneously on multiple platforms provides a great solution for any company or individual out there trying to promote themselves.
So what's it look like? Because I know Facebook's – I know you're showing me your phone. Yeah. But I mean what I'm saying is like,
– show you the beta. This actually –
he's sitting right next to me. What's it look like? He just hands his phone to me.
Here's the beta.
Makes great radio, Bob. Great
what
radio.
What I mean is when – like because – YouTube's got its own GUI. Facebook has its own GUI. Periscope has its own GUI. So how are you guys cross – like is it coming in native looking like their own live or is it different? Or, I mean what's it look like when to the end user?
So we make it pretty simple with the user interface. So if you go on the live stream interface with It's Lit, you're able to log in very quickly with your credentials. So as soon as you're logged in, you're right there. You select some buttons.
So so log in. Is it like am I signing up with my Facebook account? Am I –
You can with
yeah,
your Facebook
exactly,
account
yeah.
And you can also do an It's Lit account.
Okay.
Or, mm-hmm.
Yeah, so as soon as you're logged in, your handles are set up for the live stream interface. It allows you to select the platforms that you want to go live on simultaneously or selectively.
Yeah, I did notice that we were talking about it earlier.
Yeah.
It's basically some toggle buttons.
Yeah,
here's where I want to go live. And yeah.
You make it that simple, then that's it. You press go live and then you're streaming.
So now like I know from like this perspective, you know, there's like stream keys and all that fun stuff. Like is that all just handled by you guys and you do your thing?
Yeah, so the back end is all handled. It's so easy. We just keep it simple.
Cool.
That's easy, you know.
That's easy is good. I mean, it's like I said, you know, I kind of want to play around with it here for our stuff.
Well, that's the whole point. Hey, I'm going.
The app.
Yeah. The app. Well,
yeah.
Get the bell.
He spends a lot of time here in the studio.
I really do.
No, but that's the whole point,
though. You
didn't
notice the black leather couch out front? Didn't look familiar at all?
Yeah. That's why you didn't sit there.
No, that's the whole point, though. I'm going live. I need to go now. I don't need to click 100 things. Just let me do it.
Yeah.
Right.
So right now you're YouTube and Facebook only. What are, I guess, future expansion plans? Do you have any yet? Or are you just going to prove
this out? Yeah, absolutely.
Integrations for 2.0 that we're coming out with.
Yeah, we're going to put in a bunch of different APIs. We also developed our own live stream platform. It kind of has a twist to it. So we integrated a social feed within this app as well, attached with the story interface. So we're kind of, you know, bringing the social aspect to it versus the business and individual promotion you can do with the live stream as well. So we'll have our own live stream platform and we're expecting to integrate some more APIs in the future.
So, and you said you're in beta currently. currently. Yep. So is there a way for people to get hooked into the beta? When are you planning on going live?
If you go to itzlit.io, you can sign up.
So it's ITZ Lit?
ITZLIT.io, and then sign up there, and then you'll get a notification through email to sign up for the beta.
Yeah,
and then
Android, iPhone?
iOS only. And iOS only. Okay. Right now we're going to prepare, and pretty soon we'll be launching for Android.
So Randy will be using it until
Yeah, one platform at a time.
So it's going to come out very quickly, probably a couple months.
What prompted this idea? Let's take it back to day one.
Yeah, so what happened was is I'm a WSU undergrad, so I graduated with a double major in ISM and supply chain. And for an app development project, what happened was is I was presenting this app, and it was just a wireframe at the time. So it was a final, and ended up getting a good grade and going to the motocross track that day. And that's where I met Rob, who's the co-founder now.
He had a real funky concept. Yeah, I heard.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen up, because you want to keep it in style.
Yeah, yeah.
Here's an idea.
I want to share. If you don't like it, so what? I don't care. Yeah, that's how it's a total conversation. No, sorry. Fine.
He did this to meet chicks.
I got the one I want. But so, yeah, ended up going to the motocross track that day. And, you know, Rob's like, you know, how was your day and stuff like that. And I told him, you know, I presented a project. And he's like, what'd you present? And I'm like, well, it was a wireframe at the time. It's just an app. And he's like, well, what was it? And I told him everything. He's like, well, let's do it. And I'm like, what? And I was kind of thrown off at the time, you know, and his motivation is follow through. And I'm like, you know what? Why not? You know, let's follow through with it. So then now we're here and we're about to drop beta and doing some great testing.
I think it's our experience that why not? It's pretty much a really solid business plan.
Totally.
It
seems
to work for us. Especially while drinking.
Right?
While
drinking with, bar napkin deals. Those are 90% of the things I do. So, I mean, what was the initial hook into the EDM / DJ community? Did you just figure that was the lowest hanging fruit? Or
you're talking about me.
Yeah,
you
I know.
That, right?
Yeah,
I am
the
low hanging fruit here.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's I've always been into EDM and took a couple of vacations
to
Vegas and things like that. And after going to a couple of festivals, I realized that this would be a great target market, definitely to start, you know, approaching. And then if we see this market.
They got free time. I mean, they press play and they hold up their phone.
My middle finger in the
at least we got one guy here back.
No, they got to turn. You know. They got to turn the bass a little bit down, a little bit up.
No, we turn it all the way up.
Press the fake button right in the middle.
The treble a little bit down, a little bit up.
Like, no, we turn the bass all the way up. But yeah, definitely. When I went to these festivals, I was seeing everyone has their phone up. They're recording this content, regardless of where it's going to. I figured, you know what? Why not make something related to this market, and then you can use it for definitely other purposes as well. But this is a great opportunity to start with this as a target market. You know.
No question. Like I said, but as soon as you brought it up to me, I said, you know, that's a great intro market. But I mean, God, I could think the applications could be.
Absolutely.
You look at anyone that's doing this wants to go across multiple platforms.
Oh, absolutely.
There isn't one person, you know, right now everybody's kind of choosing Facebook and they're kind of ignoring YouTube. And to me, that's an untapped, where I think YouTube's a better product for stuff like that.
Yeah, I agree. And we integrated a social feed, and we understand that a lot of people aren't going live, and we have a great solution for that. So once you see our app drops on iOS, you're going to be like, oh, I see how they're going to promote more people to actually go live.
Okay.
So there's a twist with a lot of things, a lot of thought that we're putting into this, eliminating a lot of the social pressure that's currently out with social media today too. So.
Well,
I say social pressure, it's like when you take a picture, you're about to post it on Instagram, you're going to think of a caption. You're going to worry about how many likes you're going to get. You know, most people are
which
worried
filter
about
you use.
That. Exactly.
Is that what I'm doing it
yeah,
wrong?
Yeah, we're going to keep
we're
it
the old guys. You know, I'm the trust fund baby. That's
now, Dave's been vague booking all Christmas holiday at 2 a.m. These cryptic Facebook posts. Like, yeah, you're totally not thinking about what you're posting.
No, because we were drunk the entire Christmas break.
Yeah, I know. And 2 a.m. comes the I don't like you. Like who? And everybody's like, who, Dave? We're like,
actually, Bob, I'll let you know a secret. Dave is actually Cicada 3301, and he's starting this year's game. Sorry, that's his cryptic Facebook post. Sorry.
All right.
So no, cool. All right. So yeah. So you're planning on taking all that nonsense away from it?
Yeah, kind of making it more user friendly and keeping it lit. You know.
All right, so weird question, and tell me to
tell what, me what's lit mean for the old man. The
Urban Dictionary told me what that means. thank you. But my question is, how do you plan on monetizing this? And tell me to
so
go screw myself. If you
we're gonna
that,
we're but. Definitely gonna keep it free, build a user base. A monetization strategy is gonna be definitely in version 2.0. We're gonna do it mostly within the live stream, probably pre-roll, mid-roll ads. Let's not keep it too complicated and annoying, because we all know ads are annoying. Mm-hmm. Any pop-up that you get, most likely, I mean. me and probably a lot of people feel this way. I hate pop-ups. Pop-ups are, you know, it's kind of annoying to deal with. So we're going to monetize.
Oh, as soon as I see video will continue after this ad, I hit my back.
All right. I'm out. Exactly. Yep. So we understand that. We understand the user's frustration. We're going to definitely monetize within that perspective. So we monetize, you know, the best strategy we have.
You know, one of the things that I thought TV was trying to do is
business licensing. I mean, yeah.
No, when I was studying marketing way back in the day, they were doing the whole like, you know, like soccer games were very good at doing this where they don't
you
go to commercial.
Sell ads in the stone tablets, Bobby.
They do. No, but like soccer games are soccer seems like the only sport to be doing this is they put like the McDonald's ad in the bottom corner. So you're not intruding,
right.
You're getting the brand, the branding, the notoriety, whatever.
Yep, yep.
But you're not interrupting my thing. So when I'm watching my Tasty video on how to make some marinara and you got to stop that shit to see some Chantix ad, like that's going to give me diarrhea.
Cholesterol ad, right?
Right, yeah. Right. I just like, can't you just put the – so I'm not throwing ideas at you or trying to help, but like, that's not a bad call. Like just to – you know, so it's not intrusive, but you're still getting both, you know, win-win. Well,
and as an option, just to think about it, as a professional content creator, there's a lot of tools
that
we spend money on every month to not have branding on it. Right?
White label.
Yeah, white label. Yep. We spend $9, $20, $25, whatever a month to be like, okay, this is just a tool that we're going to use as professionals.
That's monetization itself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like direct money. Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Or even if I was Diplo or something and a little message popped up like, I'm also playing at Coachella this year. Click here to buy tickets. Like, I mean, even for the creators themselves, there's
absolutely. There's
wow.
So many options for if you're a DJ, you're promoting. If you own your own local business, if you're an individual, you know, why not go live on
Instagram? Well, yeah, because the club might want to pop up and be like, hey, next
here's my
weekend,
SoundCloud
we've got,
to download the mix right after a show or something like that. Yeah, totally.
No, very cool. So like timing, did I miss that?
So we're doing some final testing right now, focusing on eliminating a lot of the, you know, bugs that we've kind of cleared out and everything is looking very good. We're dropping beta to all of our in-house users right now for some testing and feedback. We're planning for January 19th and that is actually a concert at Masonic Temple Marshmallow.
Oh, gonna Marshmallow. Be I love Marshmallow.
So we'll be there.
Bob's
you know, so
favorite DJ.
Catch the It's Lit team.
It's Bob's favorite midnight snack.
That too.
He's an artist.
Yeah.
But I just played a big show out in Ann Arbor for New Year's Eve, and there was a massive crowd, and I would have loved to have some kind of something to allow me to stream to all my platforms. That would be incredible.
You should have called us earlier, guys.
I should pay attention to my mail.
He should have reached out to us earlier, because that's how this all came together.
That's true. Oh, yeah, you go. He did call me up. He's like, hey, we got a radio thing. I'm like, all right, let's do it. You know, just like how this all started. Let's keep rolling, you know?
Awesome. All right, so it's lit, itzlit.io. Anything we missed? Anything you want to talk through?
We're good. No, it's going to be the
– any questions or anything? Or what's your phone number here for people to call?
Yeah, we don't
– No one's calling.
Oh,
yeah.
Nobody calls
no, this no, isn't – yeah.
Yeah,
no, it's podcasting.
It never ends. It never ends well.
This is my first one. So.
We forgive you.
Calls never go well.
Someone who used to know Dave from New Hampshire 20 years ago.
That's right. Joel's probably drunk in New Hampshire listening and waiting to come.
Did we do Collins for like the first like – then like Tad called and pretend he was someone else.
He was a carpet salesman.
And Rob called and pretended he was someone. I love you guys.
It turned into all of our buddies calling in drunk as hell and we were like, yeah, no more calls.
I can see why you don't do numbers now. That's funny.
It says something about your friends. They were calling in drunk as hell on a Monday night.
Hey, let's
no
birds
judgment.
Of a feather.
No judgment.
No judgment.
Birds of a feather.
Right.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
All right, so cool. So it's lit, itzlit.io, coming out for iOS. Beta you can get your hands on now.
Yep.
Drop and release.
Yep. Drop an email. 19th. We'll get you beta very soon here. Yep.
I was going to say, we, you know, if you need any more beta users, we got our studio. There's probably, 20, 30 shows that come out of here a week.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Go
we
Facebook Live
that.
Or go some sort of live.
Absolutely.
That
we can be here. Yeah.
We can put it in their hands
and
let
already
them.
Put my email in as well.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I totally did. So, yeah,
I appreciate that. Awesome.
Yeah,
sounds good.
I've never gone live, so they're missing me, but that's all right. They'll be just fine without me.
Yeah, I don't think you've ever done a live.
I have never.
Yeah, no.
I've never.
You can do it when you're clearing off your car.
Oh. So I shouldn't do stuck in traffic videos?
The only time you went live is when you yelled about slow roll, and that was Tom.
Oh, my God, that was hilarious. Yeah. No, Tom went live.
Tom went live.
And I caught living
hell for it. Bob doesn't even go live for himself. He can ship. He can't even go live.
He goes live by proxy.
But hey, Rob Tino, appreciate your time. It's lit.io. Keep in touch with us. We want to see when you guys grow, when you hit 2.0, come back.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, like I said,
when you got something I can hook into the studios, I would like to pay.
Exactly.
Yeah, we'll collaborate for sure.
Yeah. January 19th.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Keep in touch. Awesome. Appreciate you guys coming by late notice. They're coming all the way from downriver, long hike.
Oh, nice.
But yeah. No, we appreciate it, though.
Downriver? Come on. It's
Dunover Heights.
Fine. But hey, we're gonna take a quick. Speaking of what did you say? I was gonna say speaking of Downriver.
Speaking
Heights,
of heights, we're gonna go low.
Speaking of heights, we're gonna take a quick break. We're gonna come back with Jeremiah Daily Detroit. We're gonna talk about 2017 and moving into 2018. This is the IT and the D show,
and we'll be right back.
IT and the D, read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT in the D Show.
ITintheD.com.
Do you have the time?
Welcome back to segment 3, episode 228. This is the first episode and the third segment of 2018 here at the IT in the D Show.
Hooray!
Whee!
We made it.
Happy New Year. We're hanging out here in Studio One in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri, the FNG. And then also we're here with Dr. Hook, Jeremiah from DailyDetroit.com. And then Randy decided to show back up.
So hey, he's running a show over there.
Oh, good job, Randy. Good job.
Way to make people feel valued, Bob.
Randy and the Twitter's Walkers.
Doing work and things.
In the house, doing the Twitters. We appreciate it because if you didn't do it, none of us would. Find us online
at
itinthed.com and give us a like on the socials and subscribe to us everywhere. Find podcasts are sold.
Yeah, and don't forget to check out the Meet tab. We got all kinds of stuff going on. I mean, like I said, we got the free podcast day thing Saturday. Got the Ann Arbor event Tuesday. The podcaster meetup Thursday. The IT and the D casual the Thursday after that.
So much for doing my 3-month drinking hiatus in the beginning of the year.
Sorry, not sorry. We started booking ourselves. We got cons booked. We're going to be at Astronomicon. We're going to be at Great Lakes Comic Con.
Hopefully, PinkwillCon when it comes around in
April.
It's in May.
We're already getting requests.
Yeah.
I've already had people hit me up asking me if we're doing the party again this year.
Nice.
I feel like I have to go to one of the ops meetings. Like if the ops meetings would stop happening on days that I have to be here for shit, that'd be great. Because I really want to just give us a ballroom. Just give us a ballroom, make us the official after party, and be done with it.
I will try.
Not as fun if it's a ballroom, though, is it?
That may come with some additional corkage. We'll talk about it. About this. Yeah.
I don't think it's
fun.
Yeah, true. As long as we're in the big suite, that's all that matters.
Just try being your Facebook friend when you're making all of those events all at once and you just happen to be on Facebook at that time.
Sorry.
And then all of a sudden it's just like ding, ding, ding.
I
looked at my Facebook. I literally had like 40 notifications. And it was all your events.
Because I realized it was December 29th and I had not put any of our events out yet.
Even better, I'm a co-host, so I got all the things.
So he got the notification plus the notification that he was made a co-host.
So, Jared, how'd you ring in 2018? Did you go downtown to the little thing they do?
I did not. I had some colleagues that did, and they really enjoyed it.
I don't know.
The big D drop.
I was going to say the D drop.
The D drop.
I didn't want to say it.
It moved from Campus Martius to Beacon Park.
It did. So what's – like why? Like I heard conflicting
Beacon Park?
So Beacon Park is the new open area park.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay.
It's done by DTE, and it's called Beacon Park because there's a big old light that goes up into the sky that you can see at all times.
A beacon, if you were.
Yes, a beacon, if you will.
But when it opened. DTE. Like the pyramid in Vegas.
Yeah. Right.
Wow.
But yeah. I was disappointed when it opened because I misread the press release. I was really hoping for Bacon Park. A bunch of bacon is the way to go here.
Then why don't you have a bacon cart in Beacon Park?
Ooh, Beacon?
Yeah. Staffed by a guy in a beaker costume.
Oh, named Bernie. Bernie's Beaker Bacon in Beacon. Right.
In Beacon.
Damn, I can't believe I said that. All right.
I know people from DTE Energy are listening.
One in particular.
Make this happen.
No one has a bacon cart.
Beaker's Bacon and Beacon. That'd be great. Bacon.
Right. You could do like this, like bacon and wraps. You could do all kinds of things. People would love it.
I think of Bad Brad's Barbecue. Well, more bees. Right? Jesus Christ. Up in Lake Orion, and they do something called pig candy.
That's the best.
Oh, that's the best.
Oh, my God. The strips of bacon and sugar.
Oh, it's amazing.
And
corn dog batter that.
Oh. And put it on a stick.
Hashtag this is why I'm fat.
Anyway, you went to Beacon Park.
And then you can serve drinks in beakers.
Oh.
And you can have
that's pounds.
Or have babes to serve your
beakers,
your bourbon beakers.
Babes at Bacon
So we have this episode of IT and the D is brought to you by the letter B.
As always, brought to you by the letters W, T, and F.
Is there a gong in the studio?
My Myers-Briggs type is OMFG.
Right. All right. So D drop B. So it moved why?
Well, they needed a more open area because Campus Martius and Cadillac Square, there's space there, but the event just keeps growing and growing. Beacon Park is actually –
So it's not enough that they blocked off Woodward to annoy the hell out of the rest
of us.
Well,
but you also have the new Winter in the D market or the Detroit and Winter market that Bedrock's doing. That has taken up all of Cadillac Square.
True.
And it's really taken up Capitol Park. And that's something that's been a crazy success. Go figure. You put nice stores downtown and people actually go shop there.
I heard it's super nice. It looks – I mean it looks cool. I've driven by it. I never got to stop.
But
mad they weren't beer tents.
I was.
There are beer tents.
Well, no, because I thought each one was an individual, like a table, and you could reserve them and you get like food and drink like in like a glass atrium. They do that on rooftops. Don't look at me like that, Randy. They they do those on like rooftops. Who was there once? It was like igloos, like all glass igloos on rooftops in like the winter. You don't have to wear a jacket and you get like a – beer and drinks and food and on the roof.
I think that's a great idea for next year. They're extending the market actually all the way to the 28th because it's been so popular. And then they're actually now talking about just keeping it around and making it like going to a spring market because there's been so much demand from people wanting to come downtown, wanting to shop. And one of the problems with downtown Detroit is a lot of the buildings have been augmented, designed otherwise so that there isn't really retail space.
Right.
Right? Because for so long, buildings in Detroit were fortresses or reconfigured to be fortresses or built terribly like the Rensen to be a fortress. So it wasn't very walkable. So they did this thing and they put in what I like to call human terrariums, where they're like little glass buildings that have retail shops in them. And it's been a huge hit. We've done multiple interviews with business owners, not just what like the Bedrock people say, but they've like lots of small business owners have found a lot of success along it.
What type of who's down there? Is it people that have brick and mortar somewhere else that are this is like a little pop up, or is it pop ups, or is it a combo?
It's definitely a combo, and they've done a good job of actually reaching into the neighborhoods too. So one of my colleague Cheyenne's favorite businesses is called Decreated Boutique. It's like a baby clothes boutique based on. It's like right next to the Bucharest on Livernoy.
Okay,
and. You know, she's had to take days off from selling because she's had to make so much new stuff. She's blown through all of her inventory because it's just been the hotness. It's done really well.
So I guess my question with that though, I'll let you finish talking.
No, go ahead. Go ahead. Ask your question.
Well, no. So I mean, is that high demand going to stay there would be my question. Like I can see the Christmas season, people going down, everybody going downtown for events, that kind of stuff. Like is that demand going to stay there high enough for it to be a permanent kind of thing?
Well, I think maybe you adjust the mix of businesses that are in there. Right. And things like there was a Christmas tree stand that you could buy Christmas trees in Capitol Park.
Okay.
Cause this actually went across multiple parks. So I'd feel like you would have to recalibrate your businesses for maybe something that isn't so Christmassy, something that's more of like going out and having fun. You know, you just buy different things in spring. Maybe it'll be spring to summer, more drinking establishments, things like that. Because as much as we all do like drinking in winter, drinking outside in winter sucks, especially this year.
Yeah. It's a little chilly.
Opening day. Case in point. Now imagine doing that in the winter.
It snows every day.
Yeah.
Opening day.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But there's just – it's really turning into a destination. And really at the end of the day, that's what's going to bring the money in. So that's just one of the many things that have been happening that I think things are starting to really turn a corner, at least in some areas.
Nice.
Like Shinola Hotel.
Yeah, it's coming together so quick.
Yeah, the Hudson's Tower. Like, it's
well, you know, they broke ground on the Gilbert Monument.
Hudson's, yeah.
Yeah, that'll be a thing.
Oh, yeah, it will be. the Tower of Gilbertistan?
Yeah, exactly.
What's that tower shaped like?
A schwanz. It's absolutely a schwanz. There's no other way of looking at it. It's a schwanz.
The glass schwanz?
It is. It's a giant glass schwanz.
Super.
Wonderful. So what else has been going on around town?
So you'll laugh at this. They're extending queue line hours so you can
– So you can wait for 25 minutes for your queue line when you can walk there quicker.
When does it close again?
Well, before it was 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock depending on the night if it wasn't a game night.
Okay.
And now they're taking it like to midnight and later and things like that. But they still need to work through some of their service and frequency issues. The in December, Nuri and I went down for a couple of drinkskis and then ended up over to Little Caesar's No Smoking Arena.
Mm-hmm.
And we got tickets to the queue line because like, oh, it's snowing and we'll just take the queue line.
I've never been on the queue line before, so this is like an important thing.
Right.
I Instagrammed my queue line ticket.
The rite of passage, yeah.
Right.
Right. It was a little bromantic.
It was good, yeah.
Yeah.
And, it was snowing that night. You had some snowflakes in your eyelashes. It was very
nice. You were really nice. I mean, you held my hand so sweetly. And we're like, we're sitting there for like 15 minutes and it never showed up. And we end up like, all right, well, let's just walk it. So we walked from the first queue line stop and we made it all the way to Little Caesars Arena before we even saw a queue line coming the other way.
Wow.
And it's like, this is when you're supposed to be working.
And then was that on a game day?
Yeah. On a game day.
Wow.
See, that's – and this is why you fail.
How much did you spend on that again? Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that, I guess that's what gets so frustrating is because there's so many things I do love – we all love, right, about Detroit. Nobody's sitting here saying Detroit's terrible. But we also need to like make sure that we step up the game a little bit. So,
are you listening, Metro Slimes and Douche Line? Seriously. No one is saying Detroit is terrible. No one.
Right. No one.
What I think I heard you say was Detroit is terrible.
Right.
They've re-edited it together. Detroit is terrible.
Yeah. Detroit is going to get chefed. Hello, children.
Detroit is terrible.
But over the weekend, I went to Ann Arbor and visited the historic – I hadn't had the chance yet. I'm really excited to visit the historic Michigan Theater built in 1928.
Okay.
And as we all know, many of the movie palaces in Detroit got demolished.
Yep. And yeah, isn't there only like one left, if I recall correctly? Maybe two?
Well, there's the United Artists Theater, and no one knows what condition it's actually in that they're talking about rehabbing as part of the Illich development. But they're being very cagey about whether or not they're going to do it. But the Michigan Theater was beautiful. It's been restored and rehabbed, first run movie theater right downtown. And I mean, I know that we have Cinema Detroit and things like that. But one of the things that really struck me is that we need to do a much better job of making sure everything's actually near each other. Right? In 2018, we need to do a much better job of
Who's we, Jer? We argue about this all the time.
Right.
Who's we, Jer?
I mean, just us who do.
You mean like, Gilbert and Illich.
Right. And Duggan. Don't forget Duggan. Puggo Duggo.
Yeah, does he really matter? Well, no. I've said it once. I've said it a million times. Like when I talk to my friends back east, I'm like, Detroit, Metro Detroit has all the same cool shit that Boston, Manhattan, D.C. do. You're just going to drive to get there. I mean, that's reality 101. Like you're going to go, you're going to drive 20 minutes to get here and then you're going to hang for a while and then you'll go 10 minutes to get there and then, or Uber, whatever, but it's not like it is elsewhere.
Well, and that's one of the things I think that if we really want to get to the next level as a city, we've got to turn it from like the periods of a night where it's like, this happened, period, get in the car, go this, to being commas, where it's like, I just walked out of the movie theater and I went and got coffee and then went and saw some stores and it was all within like walking distance. And no wonder places like Corktown and Midtown and like are covered by national outlets, because here there's so much of the media strum, which is like, oh no, they just don't want to cover, certain areas. No, those other areas just don't have the basics of like, if you're a tourist coming into town, you are not going to go to one place and then go 20 minutes to another place. You are going to go to a place where you can hop around and be –
let's be honest. The only thing walkable right now is Greektown. Corktown's not walkable.
It's slowly getting there. It really is. Corktown's slowly getting there.
Well, you can go from Thai to the distillery basically, right? That's –
Then you got the Art Factory and then the LJ's and then Gaelic League.
You've got Detroit Wine and then Motor City Wine.
Motor City Wine.
Yeah, all right.
So it's starting to. But yeah, we need to have those kind of things because it just makes it – I mean, that's what a city is about.
Yeah.
If you're going to do a city and have things together, then have them all the way together. We need to just – I think the other thing about 2018 to think about is just holding ourselves to higher standards and just demanding better. Because I'm two city residents here in the room, but it's more of like it is on us, not you guys. Like yes, of course, everyone's input is welcome and should be part of it, but it's on us, like as city residents, to demand that our schools don't suck, and it's on us because we're the ones electing these folks,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, council members don't get, you know, embroiled in towing schemes. And, like, yeah. we've got to really take ownership.
Or,
with
you
that.
Know, remember to pay their taxes.
Or, you know.
or wear queen's crowns in meetings.
I missed something.
Or get bribed for sausages. Remember that one?
That's
Kay
something
Everett?
We'd be guilty of, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. But it's about just demanding better in 2018, that we as Detroiters deserve an amazing city. And we have all the things to get there. We just have to make sure that we demand it.
I deserve to have my goddamn street plowed.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. Dude, I meant to ask. I wanted – because, you know, this is your first winter there at
this
that house?
This is my second. So, but we had considerably more snow already this year than
yeah.
we did all of
last
year.
So I was going to ask how that's all going.
The roads are a goddamn shit show. It's a disgrace, actually.
And you live in a pretty nice neighborhood.
I live in like one of the three or four affluent neighborhoods in Detroit, and we have two streets plowed. We have Curtis and we have Parkside.
That's because so let me they ask count you, emergency routes plowed as plowed, which I don't think they should do with their data points.
Nary, let me ask you a question. At what point do you like team up with like three of your neighbors and buy like an ATV or like a
– we already do. We have a neighborhood association fee that's not required, but that goes into limited plowing and limited security.
Right.
But yeah, in my opinion, it's the city's
job. No, but
job.
I'm saying like grabbing like a $2,500 ATV and a little
or just,
plow.
You
and
know, just, three guys with big ass snowblowers
right.
just plowing down the road.
Right.
I mean, that's what I do
the
in
Detroit
my neighborhood.
Detroit snowblower gang.
No.
Oh, shit.
Did this just happen?
Somebody.
No. You got to up the ante. You got to do Home Depot carts and two propane heaters. And you just melt all that shit.
My friend Rev has a flamethrower.
There you go.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Didn't they sell those in Madison Heights for a while, too?
And Troy, yeah. There were two places that were doing them here locally. They still do.
All right, check Google right now or GoDaddy. Detroit Snowblower Gang.
Through the Detroit Blower Gang, but that's a totally different thing.
That's yeah, different that, thing. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. That's stripper.
Paint? There's when they change the paint colors, they have to strip the paint.
Yeah, totally. And then you blow to make sure the paint's dry.
Right.
So what else you got?
Well, you know, we've got a couple of in the selfish plugs, but also connected to the network department. Mm-hmm. We have two of our shows now. Our second season of the Daily Detroit Happy Hour is started. We've actually got a great panel on medical marijuana. And everything that's going on in that business is actually going up tomorrow or the next day.
Cool.
Which is a really interesting
topic.
Yeah,
we didn't touch on that because apparently like everywhere – because California just legalized it.
Yep.
Go California. Yes.
Yeah,
right?
And apparently like lines around the block everywhere at every dispensary ever.
Of course. It's California.
Right.
And then of course we've got our Daily Detroit News Bite. We're actually doing our daily show.
Cool.
So that's been something that's been, you know, surprisingly successful. So – just different ways to like reach out to people, because what we've learned is that like Facebook's terrible for getting news. And if we want to actually reach people, yes, we can reach a lot of people through Facebook. But if you want to have like a more serious conversation, we're starting private Facebook groups for members and things like that, just because we need to have better discourse in Detroit if we want to push the conversation forward. Although I do appreciate the puns and inappropriate jokes.
That's what we're here for.
Absolutely.
So, all right. So, where do we find All Things Daily Detroit?
All Things Daily Detroit are at dailydetroit.com.
Cool.
Or All Things. So, you should register that. Just
All Things at
All Things Daily Detroit.
All Things.
Yeah. All Things Daily Detroit. Well, then there's what with All Things Detroit?
Eh? There you go.
You know what?
If I register it, then I'm in trouble.
You know what? I want to talk about one of the stupidest. I like talking about bars and restaurants. And
all right, let's talk about it.
Closings. And
I was going to say, remember when we went and saw Kevin Smith?
Yeah.
And like there were no bars open except for Heart Bar.
There was same with this.
Yeah.
Nothing. I had the worst pizza I've ever had, including Bowling Alley Pizza when I was 12 years old at Ark Sterling.
God.
It was the worst pizza, instant stomach ache. It looked like I make Totino's 99-cent frozens better than this. And it's the worst pizza I've ever had in my life.
All right.
It used to be Pub Rub, but now it's not. You figured out where it is.
Oh, that place. Yeah.
And it had like AstroTurf wallpaper. It's a very bizarre place.
That place is just like this is a place over by Grand Circus Park, so people get an idea of where it is. That place has just had like a succession of fail. Like it just never like no matter
like
what
that,
it is.
The Crow's what's down the street? The Rusted Crow?
Yeah.
It's a phenomenal place.
No, I know, but I'm saying the place, the spot you're talking about has had
closed.
Like the Rumble was terrible.
Oh yeah, it was closed.
But was closed.
It was? What night were you guys going?
It's the night we went to the WWE thing.
That was so Saturday night.
Yeah.
What? Wow. Yeah, that's the other thing. Like going out, it's like the places need to be open for people to go to them. And consistent hours.
That's crazy talk. Well, when you only open on game days, don't expect you to succeed on non-game days, especially when you're not open. I don't care if you're little – if you create a – if you're always open, be always open.
Well, and right? Because then you're a destination.
Yeah.
Because like, if I go down on a non-game day and you're not open, I'm never coming back.
No.
Well, that's why we need –
it's that simple.
Well, that's why
we – why should I give you my business? Right.
So much of downtown's entertainment and just life culture is all based around those games. And I don't think downtown's come back until the point where we have things going on when it's not game day.
Well, that would be a nice pub crawl. Would be, you know, would have been it was Park Bar, Cliff Bell's,
Park Bar.
The I never called
Rusted
the,
Crow.
Rusted Crow, and going to I'm not even want to say their name. The pizza made me so sick.
Yeah, it was
but then there's the Brassville. Wine bar at Bricks if you had like a date with you or something.
Right, but if that would be a great pub crawl, but they're never open.
Right.
Well, and you can't schedule a pub crawl for a game day because then they're flooded you're not getting in.
Right.
And yeah. No. Dumb.
Well, I think this is one of the reasons with things like the Winter Market and things like that. The Bedrock real estate people have been very particular about you need to be open and you need to be open every day you say you're going to be open. And if you're not open, we will kick you out.
Nice.
And I think that's been part of the success for that winter in Detroit market is that you go down there and you know you're going to get a good experience. And
it turns people off when they go there and it's not.
Well, like I said, if I go down on it, like if I'm just walking around and you're closed, I'm not coming back. It's that simple. I will I'm annoyed at Rusted Crow now because we were there and you know we walked by and they weren't open.
Go on there on game day and they're so swamped that the service is so slow and they're all
and then you're annoyed because because it's an hour to get a table and then it's an hour to get your food and dumb.
And so how do we fix this?
Open.
So you're thinking it's just on the businesses?
Yeah,
they need to be open and you believe
people have a skeleton crew. You can get by very well on a normal night on a skeleton crew and not break the bank.
Right.
I know labor costs are break the back of every restaurant, but you can get by with a skeleton crew.
You know,
maybe
even,
you go limited.
You go limited menu.
Limited menu.
You know, at 9 o'clock.
Charcuterie. After 9, here's our menu on non-game days. It's charcuterie and some deep fried shit. Right. So you got one person back there and you got a bartender and a bar back or whatever.
No, I agree because we have to have those places open because that's what makes it reliably fun, right? If we want people to come downtown for more than just a game day, if we want people to come down for more things than just go to the restaurant and then go back to Lake Orion or whatever, we have to create these I'm not going to use the word curated because they shouldn't be curated, experiences. If you're going to fall in love with a place, you actually have to be able to do it and be able to go out there and
but
do
it's,
things.
But it's only the ones around the stadium that do it. It's kind of funny. You go into Midtown, they're all open.
Yep.
You go to Greektown, they're open. But it's those ones right around that Adams Circle.
Well, that's crazy. And
they never open.
And, you know, 10 years ago, I think I could have understood that. Maybe. Not really, but still maybe. But there's so many more residents in
the
city now.
But you got Fillmore flow out. Now you have LCA flow out. You got Fox flow out.
Well, you have like 3,000 or 4,000 new residents right there on that on that park.
Mm-hmm. Hey, God, we were talking about those condos.
We've been talking about buying for 20 years when they were worth nothing,
and never did because we're dumb.
It's all right.
And then now it'd be worth a lot.
Those are our Bitcoin.
That was my serious stock in 2009.
Right.
No, but that's on them though. So you know what? I spend my money elsewhere. I'm not gonna lose sleep over it.
No,
but
most people won't.
But it sucks. I can't be the only one that say it. That you know, I walk out of the Fillmore and I want to hang out, and I can't
when you
without can't... getting in without getting in an Uber and going midtown or
15 minutes
downtown.
Yeah.
Right.
When you should be able to do that because that's what you do in major cities.
What I want to do.
Right.
That's why I didn't cry when the palace left my backyard because I don't care. It's all about going out for the night and having its experience.
Yeah.
It's not about the game.
No, exactly.
Grown man for crying out loud.
No, but I mean, you know, getting back to, you know, I don't, you know, New York, Boston, D.C., you walk out of a stadium, everything's there.
Yeah.
Everything. And they're all open and they're all waiting. And then even if there's not a game, they're all open. They're all there. Because, it kills me.
And if you build it right, people will come, as shown by – you know, the places in Corktown, the places that do well that bring all the reviewers in, the winter in Detroit market again. If you build it midtown, things in midtown, if you build it the right way, people will come and spend their money. They don't want a janky experience.
I want to spend my money. That's how bad it is. Like, I can't.
Right, exactly. And no. And we should work every way to get those tax dollars and get that extra spending money in. And those are all jobs that people can do. And it just blows my mind. It's frustrated me for years, but it really is frustrating now because we're supposed to be on this comeback roll, but our entertainment scene just still isn't doing what it should be yet. But
then, you go to Greektown and you go to Wahlburgers that just open up in all the Meijer stores around town.
Right.
Which is one of the – probably – I don't want to say it's a dumb move because, you know, I like the whole Meijer thing, you know, Michigan born, but like – boy, that's pretty low.
I wonder if it's like jumping the shark, like it's too much.
I just destroyed it. Yeah, great. You get to open up in how many Meijers, but I'll be, you know, I'm not eating a Wahlburger at a Meijer. I barely ate at a Subway at Meijer. Like, I'm going to eat a big.
Honestly, like I if I'd walk into Meijer and I was going to go shopping and I realized I was hungry. Yeah, I'll stop and hit the Subway just to keep myself from overshopping.
The whole point is you just bought groceries, though. You're not doing it on the way in. You're doing it on the way out.
No, I always did it on the way in.
Oh.
Because I would realize, oh, yeah, hey, I'm about to go shopping and right. I'm hungry.
But you know what?
And that leads to overshopping.
Right. But if you look at all the Meijer banks, though, the Meijer changes banks in the store every 3 months.
But speaking of Meijer, I have a bone to pick.
Thank you for clarifying that.
That Meijer, I used to think that Meijer,
the one at 8 Mile?
On 8 Mile.
Okay.
Our Meijer, basically, yeah.
Was the complaints were overrated. I used to think, oh, well, it's just a busy Saturday. These people on the internet, they're just complaining. And then I become a regular shopper of that Meijer, moving 6 miles, no, 4 miles from Midtown to the University District. What a flaming bag of show that place is.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it is the rotting tomatoes, the flies I found in my sourdough bread, the TSA-like waiting lines.
Oh, that's always the worst. A huge
and
line.
Never,
always.
never try to buy booze at this place because they will have you sit and wait while they try to find somebody to ID you. Like some manager to ID you.
Oh, I was there New Year's Eve, 8 o'clock, trying to buy stuff to go to a party at Calvin Moore's house. Shout out to Calvin. And there were 4 lanes open.
Yes.
Four checkout cashiers, 8 o'clock on New Year's Eve. The self-checkout lane was wrapped around back the whole length of the produce and then around again.
Yeah, the lanes.
Wow.
One time I went a couple days ago. It wasn't New Year's Eve, but a few days ago. And there were 5 lanes open. All the other lanes were dark. And these lanes went to the back of the store.
Got
like all the way to the back of the store. Because – and it was slow and it was – it's just like what are the – I don't know what they're doing.
Why are there 31 checkout lanes?
Right.
They're never going to have 31 open.
I have never seen – so like I used to go – when we were in Ferndale, that's the store that I would stop at to buy shit for the studio. I never saw more than 4 or 5 lanes open ever at all, no matter what, whether I was there at 2 in the afternoon, 6 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night.
If you guys went to the Meijer by my house on Hamlin and Adams, you would be in heaven.
Oh, I've been there. That store has a weird layout, though.
It's so easy to get in and out of, though.
Dude, the 2 by my house.
Well, I've been to them in other places, and it is a piece of cake. I was very excited, but now we're literally giving tax incentive dollars to Meijer to now open another Meijer down in Lafayette Park over by Jefferson. Is this the kind of Meijer we're going to get? Like, and everyone's excited about, oh, it's a chain store, blah, blah, blah. As somebody who's lived in the city for a long time and not had to have and live perfectly fine without a Meijer, like, I'm not so excited.
My favorite experience, I guess, in the last year was, it was right around Thanksgiving. And there's that one wine that they sell at Thanksgiving. It's the Beaujolais Nouveau
yep.
by George DeBoeuf, right? It's like, it's everywhere. Everywhere yep. has it. And I would go up to the guy. I'm like, hey, I'm looking for a special. And he's working in the beer section. I'm like, hey, I'm looking to find that one Thanksgiving wine that everybody drinks, you know, the Beaujolais. Yeah. He's like, the wine's over there. And he points at the wall. I'm like, mother effer, I just came from that effing section. And the amount of I don't give a shit is just so high at that store. And I don't know what the problem is. I remember asking they're out of a vegetable. I'm like, do you have any more of those in the back? And he's like, I don't know. And then he walks away. And that's the kind of bullshit that I've wow. had at that Meijer.
Yeah, I don't know if it's – I don't know if it's the same way at the Grand – I've never been to the Grand River Meijer in the city. I don't know if this is a city Meijer problem. Well, I don't know what it is.
One up in Lake Orion near where Jess lives. It is a boss-ass Meijer. And then there's one out in Skia or Skio on the west side of Ann Arbor.
Sio.
Go eat it anyway. go eat a – thing from Meijer that's not quite right, but eggplant. It's also amazing. And that's on the west side of Ann Arbor, which is not really like fancy Ann Arbor place. Yeah. And it's also a really great store.
Dude, so, the one in Fraser, friggin' phenomenal. They got the one that's like 3 miles away from it on like Gross back in 17. Friggin' phenomenal.
My advice to you guys, use Shipt.
So I ask you, what is wrong with a Detroit Meijer?
Actually, I'd be curious to know what would happen if you used Shipt.
It's Dollar Long Islands on
I used to use Shipt all the time in Midtown. It
no,
great.
If you mark that they give you bad produce, like those drivers, like that's their – you know, they're counting on this as side money.
Yeah. I'd be curious to know how it goes with
by Shipt. Me, it's all Oakland U students.
Yeah.
So it's like – and they're all – you know, it's great.
Yeah.
But like, yeah, they give you Rotten Tomatoes. You can put – produce was bad, and do they get trashed? They get yeah. like, they lose their you know they could lose their ship whatever.
Well, I found
I think it's like Uber. I think if you rate them like 2 stars or less, you'll never get that person again.
Yeah.
Well, the when I was in Midtown, I used Shipt all the time, and it actually worked pretty well. So it's kind of funny that I moved closer to Meijer to be able to get there very, and I'm able to get there very quickly myself. The experience was much better when I had somebody else.
You know, the dark side and just don't ever leave your house.
You know what the help does before work probably gets two of them Dollar Long Islands.
Right, and then stumbles into work. Yeah, that's, I'm sure that's what it is.
Did you see Nick Britsky that does Nick Drinks, yeah. cheap plug for Facebook? He's like does all craft cocktails, really high end. Uh-huh. You know, he does real. He's good at what he does. He went and raided the Dollar Long Islands
from
Applebee's,
that.
And it was like he actually like commended them and said it wasn't like it wasn't too sweet. It was actually pretty not bad. Like,
good for Nick.
Exactly. Hey, let's. What do you think? We'll wrap this up.
Yeah,
it's been the first episode of 2018. Hope you had a good time. We had a great time. On behalf of Bob and Dave and Nuri and Randy and Jer, do us all a favor. And oh my god, I just did meatballs. We just did a meatball episode.
You were about to do the yeah. Hey, and I wanted to give a you know shout out to Credit Karma. Don't forget hit creditkarma.com. Check out your credit scores. Like yeah. Bob never does.
Thanks to Robin Tino from It's Lit. Do us all a favor. Drink up your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't gotta go home. You just gotta get the hell out of here. See you next week. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies. See them driven before you, and they hear the lamentation of the women.
Long live Flash! You've saved your life. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Ain't the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Y'all take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in a can.
Joe, own the trees. Owns. 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 Owns.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass. Go home. Unplug. Get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city. I was banging on the way.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.